Chapter 13. The Hospital. John arrived at the Park Lane Hospital for the dying, where he was told to go to the 17th floor. Linda was in a large, bright room containing 20 beds. Sweet music was playing in the background, and each patient had a television in front of the bed. A nurse met the savage at the door.
"We tried to create a very pleasant atmosphere," she told him. "We want people to accept death happily."
John wasn't listening to her.
"Is there any hope?" he asked impatiently. "Do you mean, is there any chance that she won't die?" the nurse asked.
John nodded.
"No. When people are sent here, there's no chance," the nurse replied.
She stopped suddenly, seeing the pain on John's face. She had never seen any of the visitors react like this.
"What's the matter?" she asked. "Are you feeling ill?"
John shook his head.
"She's my mother," he said quietly.
The nurse was horrified by this obscene word. Her face went red and she quickly looked away.
"Take me to her," John said.
The nurse took John to Linda's bed. She was lying in the last bed next to the wall and looking at her television without understanding what she was seeing.
"I must go," the nurse said. "A group of children are arriving soon for their death conditioning lesson. Make yourself comfortable," and she walked away.
The savage sat down beside the bed.
"Linda," he said quietly and took her hand.
At the sound of her name, Linda turned to him and smiled. She seemed to recognize him and pressed his hand. Then suddenly she fell asleep. He sat and watched her, remembering Malpais and the evenings by the fire when she told him stories about the magical place outside the reservation. He started to cry. Suddenly, children's shouting filled the room. An enormous group of identical 8-year-old twins, dressed in khaki clothes, entered the room. They ran everywhere, staring at the patients. Linda frightened and fascinated them. They had never seen such a face.
"Look," some of them called. "Isn't she horrible? Why is she so fat? And look at her teeth."
A minute later, one of them came and stood very near Linda, staring at her face. John was furious and pushed away the twin, who began to scream. When the nurse heard the noise, she ran to Linda's bed.
"I won't allow you to touch the children," she said angrily to John. "Well, tell them not to come near this bed," John said, his voice trembling with indignation. "What are these dirty children doing here anyway? It's scandalous."
"Scandalous? What do you mean?"
said the nurse.
"They're receiving their death conditioning lesson. It's one of the most important kinds of conditioning. You mustn't interfere. If you do, I'll have you taken from the room."
She calmed the children and took them to another part of the room. Suddenly, Linda opened her eyes, looked at John and smiled.
"Poppy,"
she said. Then she closed her eyes.
"But Linda,"
the savage said,
"don't you know me? Please."
He felt her press his hand weakly and kissed her.
"Poppy,"
she said again. Quietly.
"But I'm John," he shouted angrily. "I'm John."
He couldn't control himself. In his fury, he began to shake her. Her eyes opened again. She looked at him and recognized him.
"John,"
she whispered.
"Where's Poppy?"
John was angry that Linda wanted Poppy and not him, and shook her violently. Suddenly, Linda couldn't breathe. She tried to speak, but no words came, and her eyes filled with fear.
"Linda, what is it? Please say something," the savage implored.
Linda looked at him with an expression of terror on her face. Her lips were blue. John ran quickly to the other end of the room.
"Help!
Quick!
He shouted.
Something terrible has happened. Oh, my God! I've killed her!
The head nurse was busy with the twins.
Don't shout, she said severely. Think of the children. You'll ruin their death conditioning lesson.
John grabbed her arm and pulled her towards Linda's bed. But by the time they arrived, Linda was dead. The savage stood for a moment in silence, then fell to his knees and began crying loudly.
Oh, my God, he said. What have I done?
Can't you behave?
The nurse said angrily. Six twins were standing behind her, staring at him. One of them pointed to Linda.
Is she dead?
He asked, smiling. The savage stopped crying, stood up slowly, and walked out of the room. On the ground floor, he found himself surrounded by 160 Delta twins. They were the hospital cleaners. Their workday was finished, and they were waiting for the deputy director to give them their soma. John hardly saw them. He began pushing through the crowd to get out of the building. Suddenly, a loud voice shouted,
"Soma distribution! Wait in the queue, please!"
John saw a young alpha who was holding small boxes. One at a time, the twins stepped forward to get their box of soma.
"They're slaves," John thought to himself. "Slaves to Soma, just like Linda was. Linda has died, but others can still be free."
Suddenly, the savage knew what he had to do.
"Stop! Listen to me," he shouted. "I implore you, don't take that horrible Soma. It's poison! Poison!"
"Oh, Ford," thought the deputy director. "It's the savage."
He turned to the savage, trying to calm him.
"Mr. Savage, please let me continue."
"Never," John shouted. "Soma is poison to the soul and the body. People who need it are slaves. I come to bring you all freedom. Throw it away."
At these words, the crowd became angry. They wanted their Soma. The deputy director ran to phone Bernard.
"Maybe he can calm the savage down," he thought.
Soon after, Bernard and Helmholtz arrived together. As they entered the hospital, they heard John, who was still shouting.
"Do you like being slaves? Don't you want to be free?"
shouted the savage.
"I'll make you be free, whether you want to or not."
He opened a window and began to throw out the boxes of Soma. The crowd shouted in horror and began to move towards the savage.
"He's mad, Helmholtz," Bernard said quietly, his eyes wide open in fear. "They'll kill him. Ford, help him."
But Helmholtz laughed happily and began to move through the crowd. The savage was throwing out the Soma with one hand and hitting the Delta twins who were attacking him with the other. When Helmholtz reached him, he stood beside him and also began hitting the twins and throwing Soma out of the window. Bernard wasn't sure what he should do. He was frightened that his friends might be killed if he didn't help them, and frightened that he might be killed if he did. Suddenly, the police came into the building. Bernard ran to meet them.
"Help! Help!" he shouted.
The police pushed Bernard away and started spraying the room with Soma gas. Quietly spoken words could be heard from the loudspeakers.
"My friends," said the voice, "why aren't you all happy and good?"
2 minutes later, the deputy director arrived with a new supply of Soma. The Soma was distributed and soon everything was calm again. Smiling happily, the Deltas left the building.
"Will you come quietly?"
the police commander asked the savage and Helmholtz.
"Or must we anaesthetize you?"
"We'll come quietly,"
the savage answered. Helmholtz nodded. Bernard, however, was trying to leave the building without being seen.
"You're coming with us too," the commander called to Bernard. "You're a friend of the prisoners, aren't you?"
They went with the police commander to the door and the waiting police car.